Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel text this morning will always have a special place in my heart and in my life. And why is that? It's the first text that I ever did a sermon on. It was the first words that I was able to speak from the pulpit. I first preached this text 5 years ago at a little country church in rural Ohio named St. Thomas. And I remember telling my supervising pastor that at the seminary that they allowed you to preach once you were in a preaching class. And so that spring, I was finally in one. And with Lent just finishing up and with him wanting a break and having a free fill-in, me, he decided to put me on the schedule. And I was ecstatic. I had been waiting 5 years for this opportunity and this moment. And every time I see this text, I'm always reminded of it. It has a special place in my heart and in my life. The words in our gospel text this morning must have had the same effect for the apostles. And why is that? It's because it's the first words that Jesus speaks to them after his death and his resurrection. And in case you didn't know, the disciples and Jesus didn't leave on the best of terms. On Maundy Thursday, after Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, and they go out to the Mount of Olives, on their way, he tells them some very sobering news. He says, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." He says, "When I am arrested, you all will flee." And the first words that Peter responds with are these. He says, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." But then Jesus breaks it to him that before the rooster crows twice, Peter will have denied him three times. But Peter ramps up his reassuring and he tells Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And Mark says, "And all the disciples said the same." And when they get to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John, and he goes off a distance to pray. And as he's with them, Mark says he becomes greatly distressed and troubled. He says, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Remain here and watch." And what happens? Jesus finds them sleeping and he urges them to pray. And he comes back two more times and finds them sleeping again. The Son of God is troubled and stressed about what's going to happen. And he asks you to pray and you sleep. Mark says the disciples did not know what to answer him. It can be hard to find the words to answer someone when you fail them repeatedly. This is one of the few times in the Gospels where it seems that the disciples wisely don't say anything. But once he's done praying, Judas comes and betrays him. And as the guards take Jesus, they all scatter and flee according to his word. They leave Jesus for dead after promising they wouldn't. They abandon their master, their friend, and their savior. They couldn't stay awake to pray. And they couldn't stay with him according to their promise. Jesus was later crucified and killed. The disciples and Jesus didn't exactly leave on the best of terms, did they? And while it can be pretty easy to criticize them or chastise or compare ourselves with the disciples about what they did, we really can't. Wouldn't we have done the same thing if we were in their place? Don't we do the same in our faith lives as well? Peter represents the disciples, and he often represents us as well. Who wouldn't have told Jesus that night, "Even though they all fall away, I will not"? Who would not have said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you"? We certainly would mean saying that, but which of us wouldn't have fallen asleep in the garden, or fled when Jesus was arrested by the mob? Isn't that the natural thing to do? Flee in the first sight of danger? But maybe if we We wouldn't have done these things. We certainly do them in our faith lives. We want to be loyal to Jesus in what we say and what we do, but we might slip and slide away. We might not leave tempting situations. When chances come to take a stand on God's word, we might be silent or let it pass by. We might let spiritual slumber overtake us, and we can abandon Jesus with our thoughts, words, and deeds. We really are no different than the disciples. We've done the same. But what does Jesus do? What does he say? Let's take a look at our text. In verse 19, John gives us the who, what, where, when, and why of our text. The who? Not the band. It's the 10 disciples minus Judas and Thomas. And the what? They're hiding. Where? In a locked room. When? On Easter evening. And why? Fear of the Jews. And it's in the middle of this that Jesus appears. And he doesn't come at a distance where they might wonder and say, is that him? It looks like him. No, he comes and he stands in their very midst. They can see him. They can touch him. They can hear him. They can even smell him. They can see his pierced hands and his side. They see his feet. It is him. Their eyes are not mistaken, and their ears do not lie. And then he speaks. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, how could you have done that to me? You guys left me for dead. You didn't keep your promise. You guys denied me. He doesn't say, I'm done with you. I give up. I've been with you 3 years and you always let me down. I'm finished. Friday was the last straw. He doesn't speak in anger. He doesn't yell. He doesn't even dare to say, I regret choosing you. Instead, he says, peace be with you. These are his first words to his disciples. Peace or shalom was a common greeting and a casual wish in that day. But on the lips of Jesus, it is more. It is much more. John 14 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that he gives is unique and special. It's one that's only given by him. His peace is a reconciliation with God, in which all things are right and well between you and him through his death and resurrection. It means there is no hostility, no strife, no thing between you and God. Although the disciples left on bad terms, it matters no more. They are forgiven. Jesus holds nothing against them. But listen to also to John 16, where Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Isn't that the truth? But take heart, I have overcome the world. The peace that Jesus gives is one that sustains during all earthly troubles and trials. Although the disciples are fearing for their lives in a locked room, they have peace through Christ's death and resurrection. And they also have joy, for the sight of the risen Lord gives joy. And it's an eternal joy at that, because Christ is eternal. But he's not done speaking his first words to them yet. He again says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He then breathes on them the Holy Spirit and says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Jesus gives them the special authority to forgive sins or to retain them. Remember confirmation class? We call this special authority, the office of the keys. Jesus sends his disciples to share the peace that he was sent to win. What first words spoken to them after their betrayal and abandonment of them? He told them, peace be with you. The same words he says to them
are also the same words that he says to you and me. For these are the first words that we hear Jesus speak to us after Good Friday, where he died for our sin. Let that sink in for a second. The first words Jesus says to you after Good Friday is, "Peace be with you." He says, "All is right. All is well. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I hold nothing against you. You are forgiven before God through my death and resurrection. My hands, my feet, and my side show that." Jesus speaks his peace to the person who is struggling with sin and seeking his forgiveness. He speaks peace to those who might have abandoned or forsaken him. He speaks peace to the grieving family and to the person wrecked and racked with stress. He speaks his peace to the worried heart and to the person devastated by depression. Nothing in this world, whether sin or situation, will be able to separate us from this peace that we have in Christ Jesus. And he gives us this peace in a variety of ways. He gives it to us through baptism, where we are daily renewed and restored. We receive it when we read the word that pronounces it, and we hear the pastors that pronounce it. We taste, we touch, we see this peace in the supper as we receive his body and blood that won us peace. We are able to share this peace with others and have the privilege of telling them what is theirs in Jesus Christ. That is a privilege. This text really is a special one for many people, isn't it? It's a special one for me. It was a special one for the disciples as they first heard that peace after Jesus had risen from the dead. And it's a special one for you as well. For it's the first word Jesus speaks to you after Good Friday. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.